Oh, come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. Anita Marks, John Schmelk with you, 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll have a guest coming your way at 12:05. Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus will join us, and we'll be on Twitter live for the next couple of minutes as well before we say goodbye. When we do, you can go to Giants.com. You can watch the remainder of the show there. Anita, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. Excited as we get closer and closer to the draft.
So. I know. It's almost a week away now. We got 8 days to go, and right. All the speculation can go away. We actually know who we're going to have.
But I think this is a fun time.
Oh, yeah.
Especially now that, you know, you had that trade deal that went down with the Rams. And Tennessee. So now a lot of people are anticipating two quarterbacks to go off the board right at 1 and 2, which means, and now I'm hearing that Tunsil might fall. I mean, it's just all these speculations. Ramsey might be on the board. Obviously we won't know until it happens, but I think it's fun speculating. It's fun going over all these mock drafts and trying to get a feel for really what the Giants are expected to do.
Yeah, and rumors are the Browns are trying to move down this morning. Maybe the Chargers trying to move out of that pick as well. I honestly, right now, I don't think the Browns are going to pick a quarterback.
Well,
that's my gut feeling based on reports.
Well, this is the deal with the Browns. They really like Goff. And so the reports right now is that Goff is going to be taken by the Los Angeles Rams.
Which I think will happen. I agree.
So I think what's going to happen with the Browns is they're going to sit there at 2 if – in fact, the Rams do take Goff and Wentz is available, then yes, I do believe they trade that pick.
If Goff's there, they'll take him.
Yes.
Oh, got it.
But this is, you know, this is another thing that I'm hearing mixed reviews. You know, there's some scouts out there that feel that both these quarterbacks are franchise quarterbacks. They're going to be good quarterbacks that you should draft in the first round, quarterbacks that really could be your future. The difference between them is who fits your system. They both have different skill sets.
Right.
So, you know, there are a number of people who feel that Wentz is the better quarterback, but that's an offensive coordinator. That's a head coach who's got an offensive mindset, who's sitting back and is visualizing that quarterback playing their system.
And that's also player development, too.
Yes.
You know, that's the guy. I don't think anyone would argue Wentz has the physical tools that are better than Goff's. Hand size, strength, speed, you know, out of the pocket, arm strength, all that sort of stuff. But you're right. Can you get him to go from North Dakota State to the NFL and make that transition?
But again, I'm hearing that both are good. I'm hearing both are franchise quarterbacks. I think that's why, you know, the team that's a few miles away from here, you're hearing a little speculation.
Yep.
That they're knocking on the door of the Cleveland Browns because they don't have a quarterback as it stands right now, whether you like Geno Smith or not. So I think there are a number of teams that are knocking on the door for the Cleveland Browns, but those teams that are knocking are the ones that really like Wentz because the expectation is that Goff will go to the Rams at 1. And so if that does happen, then yes, I do believe the Cleveland Browns will trade down.
Very interesting. And real quick, we're going to have Steve Palazzolo on in just a moment from Pro Football Focus. We'll get him up on the line. Real quick, Anita, Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay both released their what they call grade A mock drafts.
What does that mean?
And I will explain it for the fans so they don't get all out of their minds.
Yeah, please.
Because the picks sometimes will be a little weird. This is not what they're predicting is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is if they were the general manager of each NFL team, this is who they would pick in that particular slot if they were the GM of each team.
Okay.
So it's not predictive. It's what they would do. And just to give an example, in Mel Kiper's one, he doesn't have Ezekiel Elliott going to the second round because he doesn't value running backs. So he has him going all the way in the second round, I think, to actually Dallas, if I'm not mistaken. That's obviously not going to happen in real life. So, again, this is just their individual opinions here. Mel Kiper has the Giants getting Laquon Treadwell in round 1. Noah Spence, the pass rusher in round 2. Kenneth Dixon, the running back out of Louisiana Tech in round 3. McShay has Ronnie Stanley in round 1. Again, these are names we've all heard. Kamale Correa in round 2. He's more of a 3-4 outside linebacking pass rusher. And then Farrell Cooper, the slot receiver out of South Carolina in round 3.
Well, a few things here. Number one, let's start with Stanley because it's interesting. I've spoken to a number of scouts just trying to kind of get an idea in regard to Stanley and Conklin, What do they like? What don't they like? Because there's kind of a mixed review here. Some really love Conklin. Some really love Stanley.
Yeah.
And I guess what's drawing people more towards Conklin, who, by the way, might be the first offensive lineman taken off the board. I'm hearing because of all the off-the-field issues with Tunsil, he is falling. This day and age in the NFL, there are things you can risk and there are things that you cannot risk, and off-the-field issues is not one of them. And so that's why I'm hearing that Tunsil more than likely is going to fall, possibly, potentially still be on the board at 10 when the Giants draft.
I think that's a lot of smoke.
We'll see.
A lot of smoke.
We'll see what happens. But with Conklin and Stanley, I guess the one that's drawing a lot of scouts to Conklin is that he has kind of like this swagger about
him. Nasty.
This nasty kind of grit, this like, where Stanley is kind of more of a teddy bear. And I'll tell you what, I hosted sports talk radio shows for 3 years with Jonathan Ogden from the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. You never met a bigger teddy bear than Jonathan Ogden. Never, ever, ever. And he, I think, will go down as one of the best tackles to ever play in the NFL. So do you judge a book by its cover? Stanley's technique, his footwork is a lot better than Conklin, but the attitude in the way, the style that Conklin plays is attracting more scouts. So it's really going to be interesting to see who does go first.
Well, and I think that's what we'll start with Steve Palazzolo, our guest on Pro Football Focus. If you're on Twitter, thanks for joining us. If you want to listen to this interview in full, go to Giants.com right now. Steve, John Schmelk, Anita Marks, Giants.com. How are you? It's good to talk to you again. It's been a while since the combine, and a lot more has come out about a lot of these prospects, huh?
Yeah, doing great. We've just been watching everybody, getting a second, third, fourth look at a whole bunch of prospects. Yeah, it's good to talk again.
And we'll have a chance to talk about your draft guide. I'm holding it up for the folks at home right now. Steve, you guys do a great job putting this together. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But I want you to kind of jump in on the conversation Anita and I were just having about the offensive tackles in this draft. Anita, I'm sure I'll ask you about Tunsil, what you're hearing about his off-the-field stuff. I'm going to focus in on a second here on Stanley and Conklin. Now, I'm so glad we have you on because you also study the NFL teams in this mix, so you can kind of mix value and need here. With the Giants' current situation at tackle, with Newhouse, but more importantly, Eric Flowers, long-term and short-term, what do you think would be a better fit for the Giants and why? Conklin or Stanley?
Oh, man, this is a tough one because we have very similar grades on both of them as prospects. The strengths and weaknesses are different. You know, Stanley's a more natural pass protector, I'd say. Not as good in the running game, whereas Conklin is definitely a mauling, run-blocking tackle, but he's definitely good enough in pass protection. Kind of reminds me of Joe Staley of the 49ers, who's been one of the better left tackles in the league the last few years, but a really good run-blocking tackle that I would love to see in a power-blocking scheme. So I keep mocking him to say the Buffalo Bills as a team that would just be a perfect fit. As far as Stanley, I do think he's a smooth mover. He's really good in pass protection. I know there are some concerns about how he tested from an athleticism standpoint, but on the field it doesn't really show up. I think he moves extremely well, always in good position, rarely gets beaten badly in pass protection. I just don't know what you're going to get out of him in the run game. So from our perspective at PFF, if we were to grade these guys from a projection standpoint, I could see Stanley being an above-average pass protector, but more of an average run blocker at best, whereas Conklin could be above average on both ends, but maybe not as good as Stanley in pass protection. So it's more about strengths and weaknesses type of thing between the two of them.
So given that Eric Flowers is one of the tackles on this team, then which guy do you think fits the Giants better?
I like Stanley because I know it's a pass first type of system. I think they're going to run a little bit more zone in the running game, where I think Stanley can do well enough in that area. You maybe put him at left tackle, and maybe Flowers ends up as your right tackle down the road. I know left and right tackle, I bang the drum for this all the time. I don't think it doesn't matter left and right. You know, the best pass rushers in the league are actually going up against right tackles now anyway. But I just think you get two good tackles and roll with that. I think Stanley, because of the pass protection in the system, probably is a better fit.
Well, you know, Steve, that kind of leads into my question, and that is, you know, everything that we've heard from the Giants is that they're committed to keeping Flowers at the left tackle position. But everything I hear from scouts and coordinators that have watched Flowers feels that he is more a right tackle kind of offensive lineman than a left tackle offensive lineman. Stanley Conklin, where do you think they fit best? And if the Giants do draft him, then do you think that it would be either one of those guys, do you think it would be in their best interest to move Flowers from left to right?
I honestly don't think at this point in the NFL there's a difference between left and right tackle. I know scouts are still using that designation, but if you watch the Super Bowl, the best pass rusher from the Broncos was Von Miller, and he went up against the right tackle. And, you know, same thing with you, Justin Houston in Kansas City and J.J. Watt and Khalil Mack. You really can't hide a player at right tackle, and that's usually why you put a guy at right tackle historically. You say, well, he's our second-best pass protector. He can't hold up on the left side, when the reality is it's just as hard to pass protect from the left and from the right. And some of the studies we've shown, it really doesn't matter where the pressure comes from, blind side or from the front side. It's just as bad for QBs. So I think if you can't pass protect, you're in trouble. All that said, I don't think it matters either way as far as who goes where. I think from a scout standpoint, Conklin probably fits that, what they're looking for in that right tackle profile, though.
All right, sticking on the offensive line then, if the Giants, Steve, let's say, do not pick an offensive lineman in the first round, they say, you know what, we're going to try to get one on day two. Is there a lineman that you think will still be on the board day two that the Giants could draft and plug in day one at right tackle and be comfortable with them as a starter next year?
Yeah, this is where it gets dicey because of the way the league values offensive tackles. If you have the size, frame, athleticism to pass protect, you're almost never making it into the second round.
Right.
The one guy that I think is more of a second round talent, but I'm hearing he's going to end up in the first round because of how well he did the combine, was Jason Spriggs. He's the type of guy I'd be more comfortable taking in the second round. So I think that'd be a best case scenario if they could grab him at the top of the second.
Yeah, it's interesting. After Tunsil, Stanley, and Conklin, I'm hearing that the talent immensely depreciates across the board for offensive linemen, even to the point where even in the second round might be reaching for a lot of these guys. Do you feel that way?
I do, and I look at guys like LaRaven Clark of Texas Tech and Jermaine Ifedi from Texas A&M. These are guys who are long, and they project as they're projects. I mean, they project as guys that coaches want to look at and get to work with because they have all the size and measurables. Even a guy like Taylor Decker, who I see his name in the first round, I just don't see him as a first-round prospect. I think it's mostly based off size. So I think it's a thin tackle class at the top. There's some talent definitely at the top, but I think it's thin beyond those first few guys.
Right.
Now, Stephen, from my perspective, and I would love to get your opinion on it, I think the wide receiver position is almost the opposite, where you don't have that sharp drop-off if you don't pick that guy in the first round. And if the Giants want to try to target a wide receiver in round two or even round three, they should be able to get a pretty good player that could complement Beckham on the other side, whether you're talking about a Michael Thomas or if a guy like Doxson by any chance happens to drop, well, you know, Fuller, the kid out of Notre Dame. Do you think a good wide receiver could be on the board in rounds two or three, and which round do you like the value better for the Giants on day two?
Yeah, I think definitely they're it's a deep receiver class. I think it's similar to the defensive line for me. It's which flavor of wide receiver are you looking for? There's two Michael Thomases in the draft. They're both good. Ohio State, shifty route runner. Southern Miss is Michael Thomas, really good at the catch point, plays bigger than his 6'1" frame. Guy named Rashard Higgins from Colorado State. The more our analysts watch him, the more we really like him. He had our third best grade in 2014 among all receivers, just behind Amari Cooper of the Raiders and Tyler Lockett of the Seahawks. So you look at Higgins as a guy, he only runs 4.6, but he has a real knack for getting open. And I think he's going to be available in that second or third round range. Tyler Boyd from Pittsburgh, another guy who has some flashes that remind me of Victor Cruz at times. So I think there's a lot of versatility in the wide receiver core. You could take a shot on a guy named T.R.S. Garrett from Tulsa, big guy that can get down the field, has some speed. He's a little raw, but he can make those downfield contested catches. So I think there are many different options for the Giants to say, okay, what do we want our receiver to look like opposite Beckham?
Corey Coleman, his value has skyrocketed, even to the point where in a number of mock drafts now, he's going before Treadwell.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Do you feel if you were on the board and you needed a wide receiver, I mean, do you feel that Coleman would be the number one wide receiver you would take?
Yeah, Coleman's our top guy. He's one, and I would say Josh Doxson of TCU is 1A. To be honest, the more we watch Treadwell, I see him more as a late first, even an early second round type of player. When you compare to Coleman can just separate at all levels, really shifty in and out of his breaks, Andy's explosive after the catch. And then Doxson, he's a guy that contested catches down the field, unbelievable body control. He is a big play threat, also a much better route runner. When I look at Treadwell, he just does not create separation like some of these other wide receivers in the class. He's good on short stuff, on slants. He can make the contested catch and win at the catch point, but he's not as good, I think, as maybe the scouting reports would indicate. So I think Treadwell's a little bit limited. Definitely think guys like Coleman and Doxson are a lot more versatile.
All right, I'm going to jump to the defensive side of the ball real quick here, Steve. And one player that has been mocked to the Giants in some of these mock drafts is Leonard Floyd. And I've had a half dozen guys that do this for a living on, and a lot of them have said it's the toughest guy that they have to scout based on how they used him, where he plays, and also how he might project to a 4-3. I'm thrilled to have you on. I know no one watches more tape of these guys than you. When you see Leonard Floyd in college, what does he do well? But more importantly, how would he move into a 4-3 system for the Giants in the NFL? How would they use him? What's the best way to use him if he was the Giants pick at number 10?
Yeah, I think with Floyd, his best fit would be in a 34, as that true rush outside linebacker.
Right.
But the guide, the guy that kind of set the tone for him is Anthony Barr from UCLA, who stepped in with the Minnesota Vikings he was an edge rusher. They turned him into a linebacker, and then they blitz him about 100, 120 times a year, about 10 times a game. So when I look at what Barr's transition was, I think that's what you would hope for from Floyd. And he did some of that at Georgia, played off the ball a little bit,
yep,
played in space. I think he was good. He wasn't great, but he was good. And for a guy that is a pure edge rusher, I think he made the transition well. But where you're going to get – so if you can get him early downs, playing that off-the-ball linebacker spot, I think he's reasonable in that department. But where you're really going to get the value is off the edge on third down, letting him be a pure pass rusher. He's got the size, length, he can bend the edge, and he just won. He had our fourth best pass rush grade of all edge rushers in the nation last year. So
wow.
I think he has immense upside at 6'6", 240. I think he's a good pick as long as you trust him enough on early downs to kind of play a true linebacker spot.
So the comparison I get when I talk to a number of the scouts that I totally harass every day of the week is if you can imagine a more explosive, bigger, better Jason Taylor. Now that's exciting, but in regard to how the Giants, how their defense is right now, unless you plan to move JPP inside with the money that this organization went out and really did in free agency and bringing in Olivier Vernon, if you draft him, just as you just said, you want this guy going forward 99% of the time. How do you utilize him? Does that mean Spags changes the defense if the Giants do draft this guy? Because you're not going to go out and draft a guy top 10 and then just have him play on certain downs. I mean, you want to bring this guy in and have him be your absolute stud if, of course, the comparisons are an even better Jason Taylor. So, that fit is such a big component. It's really perplexing to me. I hear great things about him. I'd love for the Giants to go out and get him, but then do they have to change up their scheme here?
Well, I don't think they do, because there's a couple things at play here. First off, will JPP be there for more than 1 year? And if he's only going to be around for one more year, you're certainly not, I would hope, teams shouldn't be drafting just for this season as it is. So having that long-term in mind has to be part of the equation. But then from a third-down pass-rushing standpoint, JPP could easily kick inside, kind of play that Justin Tuck role, and actually go up against guards, because as good as JPP is as a player, he's not an elite pass rusher. He's a good pass rusher. Could actually see him going up against guards on the interior, Floyd coming off the edge with Olivier Vernon, or if Floyd is playing some of that off-the-ball linebacker position on early downs, you could stand him up, move him around, maybe try to isolate him on a running back, get him going up against a center in more of a blitzing type of look with JPP and Vernon coming off the edge. I think there's enough versatility to Floyd's game that you can make it work.
Steve, final one for me before I get your draft prediction here. Who do you think might end up dropping from those elite 5 to 6 position players we've been talking about for a couple months? I'm talking Ramsey, Bosa, Tunzel, Jack, Buckner. Of those 5, do you think any of those, and Miles Jack too with the knee, could any of those guys potentially fall out of that top 5 and get to the Giants at 10? What do you think?
I think if I had to put money on one, it would be Jack, just because I think there's enough smoke around the knee injury that there's something there. And to be honest, that's really tough to tell. There could, 25 teams could take him off their board. But if Jacksonville hasn't taken him off their board and they grab him at five, then it really doesn't matter. So there's enough smoke around there that I say, okay, maybe Jack ends up dropping. But I do think those guys have all separated themselves, and I do think that they all go in that top 5 to 7 range.
Fantastic. Right. I mean, great, yeah. Great stuff. I sat here taking notes the whole time.
She did. I can attest to that. All right, Steve.
Thank you.
The last thing I ask everybody is, what's your pick for the Giants? What do you think they're going to do? And if you are making the pick, who would you choose at number 10?
My pick would be crazy. Giants fans don't always love it. But the guy I would target is Sheldon Rankins from Louisville, just to even add more on that defensive line, an interior penetrator to actually complement Hankins and Harrison on the inside. I know it's not always popular because it doesn't fit a need, but I love what he brings to the table. From a prediction standpoint, I have a feeling that Ronnie Stanley, from a need value standpoint, is really going to match up with what they're going to be doing there. So if I had to guess what they were going to do, I think Ronnie Stanley ends up being the pick.
All right, Steve, tell the fans out there about the Pro Football Focus draft guide. I'm holding it up. It's a lot of pages. Let's see if I get a page number here. It's over 250 pages of scouting reports, detailed information from the Senior Bowl. You name it, you have it. Tell the fans where they can get it.
Yeah, right over at profootballfocus.com. Up in the upper right, you can click subscribe. Grab your draft guide, only $9.99, and you have all the information you need on over 400 prospects heading into the draft.
Fantastic. I know you're also doing a special show on SiriusXM NFL Radio on Friday night, too. Why don't you plug that for us?
Yeah, Friday night, 7 p.m. on the SiriusXM NFL station. We're trying to squeeze everything we know about the draft into 1 hour, so it's going to be a whole lot of fun. PFF draft show.
You better talk fast, Steve. I appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you down the road, all right?
Sounds great. Let's do it again. Thank you.
Awesome. Steve Palazzolo does a fantastic job. Great dude. Very great information. Again, if you want good draft information, folks, check it out, profootballfocus.com.
Pretty interesting. So Pro Football Focus, I know you have Sam Munson on. I have him on my radio show.
He's
a
great,
lot.
Right?
I love him.
The best.
Like, he has me at his accent. And so he's moving from London. He's moving here.
Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, he's moving to Cincinnati. I guess a Sunday Night Football. Chris Collinsworth.
Chris Collinsworth has a partial ownership of Pro Football Focus.
And so he's putting together a network. Mm-hmm. He's moving to Cincinnati, and I guess they're taking Pro Football Focus to the next level, and I'm sure they're going to be doing a lot of things online, digital, whatever, what have you, and I believe that they're going to have some programming that they're going to create. So,
well, it makes a lot of sense. When you do a ton of film study, why not show people the film study, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're only going to get bigger and better. So exciting stuff for them on the horizon.
Absolutely. And it's simply a great resource. Whenever, you can have people that watch all that tape. Again, you use it as a part of your toolbox from what you see, what you hear from other people, statistics, you put it all together, and that's how you kind of come to your decision on player evaluation. But they certainly are a great tool. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. We'll get to the calls in just a second, and I just want to get your opinion on the Sheldon Rankins pick. But that's a pick we haven't heard a whole lot of. He is a consensus top 15 guy. Usually you see him going somewhere between 12 and 14 with the Bears and Dolphins, somewhere in that area. But I guess I understand it, because if you see Harrison and Hankins as more run-stuffing type of players, he could be a guy that could give you some serious interior pass rush on passing downs.
Yes, but, Hankins, I think, is some big-time expectations for him coming in.
Yeah, you hope so.
And then you've got an organization that went out and paid Snacks defensive end money. So, I understand. And talking about, of course, Leonard Floyd, and if the Giants do draft him, then what do you do with JPP? Because this is a guy that really needs to be going forward 99% of the time. So, you don't just draft for this year. You draft for the future.
Absolutely.
I get that. I think that there's going to be some better picks on the board. I honestly believe I would love to be a fly on the wall in the war room when the Giants draft, because I have a feeling that I have a feeling Leonard Floyd's going to be on the board. I have a feeling that possibly, maybe, potentially, Miles Jack might be on the board. And also I have a feeling that either Tunsil, Stanley, or Conklin are going to be on the board. And I think that there are going to be a number of coaches that are really going to stand up. And I'm sure the majority of the offensive coaches on the staff are going to stand up, and they're going to want that offensive lineman. We need to protect Eli. We need to run the ball better. And then you've got defensive staff that and not sure where they stand with Floyd or Jack, whatever the case may be. But I think it's going to be a real fun war room. And then don't forget, I think the phones are going to be ringing off the hook. There's so much talent. There's so much depth, and there's so much talent. Not all teams draft per best player on the board. Yeah. A lot of teams draft not only just best player on the board, but also in regard to their needs. And I believe that there are going to be some guys on the board still available at 10 that's going to fit some needs. And I think the phones are going to be ringing off the hook in the back room of that war room for the Giants. So it's, man, I would pay any amount of money to be in there on Thursday night, no doubt.
Oh, go upstairs and just get the checkbook ready. Yeah. I'm sure they could figure something out for you.
I'm sure Jerry Reese would be like, get out of here, Marks.
All right, let's go. Let's go to the callers. Jerome in Charlotte, he'll lead us off. He's been holding the longest. Jerome, what's going on, pal?
Hey, I just want to say how much I love y'all guys. I listen to you every chance I get, every
Thank
day.
You. Appreciate it.
And I got like a more of a two-part question. And with everything's been happening the last couple of years, Jerry, Reeves has been on the we have to make the playoffs in order him to keep his job, basically.
I mean, I don't think there's any evidence that we know that's true. I think that's something fans have assumed, but I don't think there's any ample evidence to make that assumption before the season starts.
Okay, I understand that, but I think the Giants, they're not so much looking. They're looking for impact players now, and with that being said, I think they should either go corner or receiver, but looking for players that feel what we need immediately versus sit back and wait.
Wow.
If we can do that in the later rounds. 4, 5, 6, because we gave up our 7.
Now, Jerome, I hear you. Look, I know what you're saying, but at the same time, if there's a player that's so much more highly rated a certain spot, even if he's not a position of need, and I'm talking like 10, 12 picks higher than where he should be, and he's there, I think you have to think about it. Now, if you get to the point and, you know, the difference between player A and player B is small or infinitesimal, yeah, you pick the guy you need more, obviously. I think that's an easy decision. But I don't think you completely ignore your board if there's a big difference in where the two players are ranked. You know what I mean?
Right, but we need a corner, a slot corner. We need somebody to take the pressure off of Beckham. And we need a safety.
Right, that's true. But what happens if you get to number 10 and all your players that play those positions, you have ranked as second-round picks?
Yeah, do you roll the dice and hope you can get them in the second round?
Well, I can tell you what.
You get them now?
One thing you don't do, Anita, you don't pick a player with second-round value on your board, a 10th overall in the draft.
Oh, no.
You don't do that.
No, you don't. Actually, you know what's interesting? And thank you for the phone call.
Thanks, Drew.
Is that I'm seeing more and more a few mock drafts with the Giants trading down. And I want to say the last one was on Pro Football Focus. Not sure exactly who.
Could be right.
Yeah. I don't.
Well, Tennessee wants to get back in now because they got all these extra picks.
Right. And again, Conklin might be on the board. Wow. At 10.
And that might be the guy they want to try to go get, or Stanley, for that matter.
I know.
I agree with you.
I'm telling you, if Conklin and Stanley are on the board at 10, I'm hearing that the Ravens really like Conklin. So I think Conklin will be gone. But if Tunsil and Stanley are still on the board at 10, man, that phone's going to be blowing up.
And I think one of those three offensive tackles realistically could be around the 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there's a real good chance of that being the case.
Yeah.
If all three are gone, that probably means that one of these other guys dropped to you.
Exactly.
Right.
Ramsey.
Ramsey's not getting the 10.
Who's taking Ramsey?
Dallas.
No way.
In a second.
No way. Jerry Jones is not going to take a safety. Jerry Jones will not take a safety.
Well, the reports are there that he's the highest player on their board.
I think he's going to take Bosa. I think he's either going to take Bosa or Ezekiel.
I mean, Cleveland might take him, Ramsey, if they don't trade out.
I think Cleveland. I'm telling you, if the Rams – this is so much fun. See, this is what makes it so fun. If the Rams take Goff, which everybody's anticipating them to do, then Hugh Jackson doesn't want wins. He's going to trade down.
Well, he has to have a partner, though.
Oh, I'm sure they have a board of partners, and they're just sitting back and saying, "Okay, which one is the best deal?"
I just can't believe. I mean, you think Ramsey could drop all the way to 10? You think every? I mean, the Bucks are gonna pass on him?
I think it would be very hard. I think it would be very hard for the Bucks. I think it'd be very hard for Jacksonville.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Jacksonville's another great target. Now, I think Jack is more realistic now because of the knee stuff, and
yeah,
again,
but now apparently, like. That's all rumor.
Well, it could be all rumor.
Yeah, Jason LaConfora, who I'm actually having dinner with tonight. Can't wait to pick his brain.
I feel sorry for him. You're going to be all over him.
I'm going to be all over him. He's gonna try to eat. I'm going to be like, well, what about this? And what about this?
Exactly.
And what about that? But yeah, he has an article out on Miles Jack on CBSSports.com. Saying how really this is not true.
It's all shade.
The reports that are out.
I'm not surprised by that
about
either.
His knee are not true.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say you're the Chicago Bears sitting there at 11. You're the Dolphins sitting there at 13.
Right.
And you're like, you know what? I'd really like to have Miles Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go call my trainer. I'm going to call my scout. I'm going to tell him. You talk to five people in the media that you're friendly with, and you tell them that you think this guy's knee is so screwed up, he's not going to last 4 years. Spread it around, scare the hell out of everybody else, and hopefully he'll get to us, and then we'll pick him and make everybody else look stupid. So, again, what people like to say, this is lying season. So you got to figure out who's lying, who's telling the truth, what's real, what's fake. And, you know, I think now that the Rams traded up to one and Tunsil's no longer the obvious pick to the Titans at number one because they're not there anymore, I think now you're hearing some of the – oh, you know, maybe the off-the-field stuff, he could drop. Maybe he's going to be there later. I think it's the same type of effect that you're having. Now, that's not to say one of those two guys might drop, and I think there's a better chance of Jack because people get freaked out over knee injuries. But, again, like you said, if those three offensive tackles do go top nine, odds are a player that you wouldn't think is going to be there is going to be there.
Here's a conversation I had with somebody the other day in regard to how phenomenal Miles Jack is. If the reports are true that his knee, that the concern isn't this year, next year, the concerns are 5 years from now.
Longevity of his career.
Right. You know, he might need microfracture, whatever the case may be, the longevity of his career. Let's say if you are only going to get a vintage Miles Jack for 4 years, do you still draft him in the top 10?
Paul and I had the exact same conversation end of yesterday's show. He said if you can give me 5 years of him, I'll take him.
What if you can only get four?
I mean, that's the rookie contract.
Right.
Here's the problem, though. What happens if you get to the end of the 4 years and he's still really, really good and he hasn't gotten hurt yet? And then you're pressured to re-sign him. And then what happens on a second contract?
Then you really have a heart-to-heart with your medical staff.
You do. You have to. If you're giving me 4 years of Pro Bowl, All-Pro linebacker Miles Jack.
Do you draft him in the top 10?
I wouldn't pick him over Jalen Ramsey. I wouldn't pick him over Joey Bosa. I probably wouldn't pick him over DeForest Buckner. I wouldn't pick him over Laremy Tunsil. I would probably pick him over Stanley or Conklin. Hargreaves, he's probably right there with. That's where I put him.
And this was another conversation I had with somebody the other day, and that was and this is something that's really underrated. When you go back and you look at all the teams that have won Super Bowls the past, like, let's say, 3 to 4 years, it's all the talk always, of course, the quarterback and the defense and
pass rusher.
Yes,
whatever.
He said look at their middle linebackers.
Keekly, he's pretty good, huh?
He said go back and look at everybody's middle linebackers. People don't, it's undervalued in regard to the importance of having what a great middle linebacker can do for an organization and a defense in their quest to win a Super Bowl. So
I don't disagree with that.
No, it does not get talked about a lot.
Especially
or
with
enough.
The way passing systems are now. Need everything short, over the middle,
yep.
Crosses. You need linebackers that can handle that sort of stuff, not just physically but mentally.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference Luke Kuechly makes for that Panthers defense is off the charts.
Is this this year's schedule?
Yes, it is.
Do they play New England?
No, Giants do not play. Well, they play them in the preseason.
Okay.
They got the Patriots in the preseason game.
Because I'm sorry, I don't know how anybody's going to be able to cover Gronk and the Black Unicorn. you're gonna need at least 3 miles, Jax.
It's not going to be easy.
Right.
You better have some safeties I can run, too. Back to the phones. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. If you never play fantasy sports, it's changing the way we do it. Pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. DraftKings.com, enter promo contact. Claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Len in Columbia, Maryland. Leonard?
How you doing?
How are you, sir?
Good, good. You guys look like you're having fun and sound like you're having fun talking about all this.
How can you not?
Here's my opinion.
What do you got?
Let's make our pick by 3 o'clock this afternoon and get this over with, please.
No, but Len, you don't know who's going to be there. You don't know what moves are going to get made before.
Len is not enjoying.
Well, I said by 3 o'clock. Let's start the draft at 1 and make our pick by 3. Get this over with. I mean, I love Pro Football Focus. I really do. Shelton Rankins, oh my gosh.
He's a good player.
that's a throw him in the hat and need to pick one out. Pick.
He's a good player, though.
Okay, listen, he knows more than I do, and he's got his opinion. But I tell you, if I'm the owner of this team and I'm sitting in that draft room and it's our pick and Jerry says, I'm going to pick Shelton Rankins, I say, wait 1 minute, Jerry. Wait 1 minute. 2 years ago, you traded up to get Bromley. Now you want to pick another defensive tackle? It's like we start over every year. I mean, come on. We can't pick Shelton Rankins. And look, Anita, with all due respect, I'm a 2016 guy. I don't care about 17. I don't care about 18. I care about 16. The reason why I care about 16 is because it's time. 4 years removed from the Super Bowl, 8-8, 7-9, 6-10, 6-10, with the same old formula. Let's not worry about whether he produces next year. If there was no such thing as the draft, John, and also Anita, there's no such thing as the draft, and we had to go to war this Sunday, with the 72 guys we've got under contract, mm-hmm. What do you think? Where would we stand in the NFC East in 2016?
I honestly think the NFC East right now is wide open. I think you have to see what team's going to be healthiest throughout the year. I think Dallas will be better with Romo healthy. I think the Redskins will once again be good but not great. The Eagles, I have questions about. I'm not sure how that team's going to come together in year one. I think the Giants would probably be right around, you know, I'd say 9 wins, 10 wins. And I think they'd have in the move this way, Len. In December, if the Giants take care of business, they'll have a chance to win the division. That's how I see it. I'd like to see what Anita thinks.
What do you think, Anita?
In December.
Not in December. We line them up. We start on Sunday. We got 72 guys on this roster. Hey, can we compete in the NFC East with these 72 guys?
Yes, absolutely. A few things, as John just pointed out. You know, Dallas, not sure exactly how great they're going to be. They begin and end with Tony Romo. I think that's why there's a lot of speculation.
Absolutely.
Whether or not they're going to draft a quarterback. Can Tony Romo stay healthy? He's not been able to. So that's going to be a big key. It's a big if. If Romo goes down, Dallas Cowboys tank. If he stays healthy, then I think they're right in it. The Washington.
We don't need this draft to compete in 2016.
That's not what I'm saying. Let me finish, Lynn. Looking at the Washington Redskins, this is Kirk Cousins' team now moving forward. I think that's got to be exciting for them. Matt Jones, he's going to be their premier running back in the backfield. Defensively, they're solid. I think they'll be competitive. I have them splitting the series with the Giants 1-1. I have Dallas splitting the series with the Giants 1-1. And again, I'm with you. I don't know what to make of this Philadelphia Eagles team. I don't know enough about Doug Peterson to know, you know, will his offense suit Sam Bradford? Will Sam Bradford stay healthy? I don't have a good feel about this Eagles team. So they're
kind of, Daniels beat him out. Who knows?
They like him. It's I don't know. They just paid him a ton of money.
You wouldn't think, right?
So, you know, I'm kind of up in the air with the Eagles. But I'll be honest with you. I looked at the schedule. I think this is, again, it's easy to now sit back and look at the schedule because now I'm looking at these teams and I'm looking at these matchups based on what we saw from them in 2015, not 2016. 2016. They're all going to be different teams. But I'm looking at this, and I think 10 is doable for the Giants.
Sure.
I think 10 wins is doable for the Giants. That puts them in contention to possibly, potentially win the division, let alone compete to possibly be a wild card. So I'm expecting bigger and better for the Giants this season. Out of all the moves that have been made in the offseason, I think the Giants, obviously, with the amount of money that they've made the most moves. So I'm banking on the Giants to win the division as it stands right now.
But Len, do the Giants need to fill some holes in the draft to make this team better and more competitive and give a much better chance to win the NFC East? Absolutely, no one would argue with that.
Let me just say this, guys: you haven't made me feel any better about 2016.
I didn't know that was our job.
Well, okay. You're out there saying we're ready to play this. We're ready to play. Here's where I want to go with this now. So who makes us better, John? Who makes us better in 2016?
Are you kidding?
Now, wait. Don't tell me we don't know who's going to be there. Tell me who makes us better.
Ronnie Stanley, Conklin.
You're talking in the draft.
I think
any of the offensive linemen are going to make you better because now you've got two solid bookend tackles moving forward.
Agree.
So now you're protecting Eli Manning, giving him more time to get the ball to Odell, let alone in a better rushing attack. I think any of the defensive players, if by chance Ramsey, God willing, is still there, you line him up next
to... That would be nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Forget about
it.
Miles Jack, Leonard Floyd, any of those guys will make this defense better.
Floyd, we're looking at 17 and 18 guys. I want September 11th, 4:25 in the afternoon in Dallas. I want a player out of this draft class who... is going to be a starter and it's going to make us a better team and help us to compete. It's probably one of the offensive tackles. Being realistic about it.
Well, Len, in fairness,
and there is a huge need there.
Right. Well,
I prefer Conklin over Stanley, but you can make an argument for the other guy.
Well, Len, and based on what Anita's saying, I think both of us are on the same page. If you have the choice sitting there between Floyd and one of the offensive linemen, right now I would probably go with the offensive lineman. I'm not sure what you would do, but I think right now, despite Floyd's uniqueness in terms of athleticism, ability to rush the passer, and all that stuff he can do, if I'm sitting there and my choice is Conklin or Leonard Floyd right now, and again, I reserve the right to change my mind. I have one show next Tuesday, and I can change my mind next Tuesday. But as of today, I think I would probably go either Conklin or Stanley. What do you think?
Of the three wide receivers that he talked about, including Treadwell, on opening day, which one of those three people do you think would make us better?
All of them. I think all three would make the Giants better. But here's the thing. Len, here's the thing. Well, I think Corey Coleman would make you least better because I think he's more
Okay.
I think he's more of a project. But I think if you can get either the Fuller kid from Notre Dame or the Michael Thomas kid from Ohio State in the second round, I think those guys make you nearly as better as either Doxson or Treadwell. I don't think there's that much of a difference between those four wide receivers. Maybe a little bit, but I don't think it's, you know, earth-shatteringly huge, which is why I'm fine trying to grab a wide receiver in round two. I'm fine with that.
Well, how do you replace 6,808?
What are you talking about?
In terms of yardage and from Randall. I mean, who's going to replace? Who's going to replace? Who's going to – I mean, how do we generate those numbers?
Well, you draft somebody. That's how.
Hey, John.
What else do you want me to say?
Anita, here's a good one. My wife just walked into the room and she said to me, "You've been on too long."
Well, Len, for once, me and your wife are in agreement.
Hey, listen, maybe it's time to say goodbye.
Thank
hey, get
you,
an offensive tackle or a wide receiver in that first round.
Appreciate it.
We'll talk again.
Right.
Hey, great show, guys. Great show.
So you have a chance to answer my question then. What if you have Floyd or one of the offensive tackles, not Tunsil, Stanley, Conklin, Floyd?
You know what I need?
What do you do?
I need 5 minutes with Spags. I need 5 minutes with Spags and really pick his brain.
Well, here's the question.
And say, if this team was to draft Leonard Floyd, what would you do differently? One thing that I did like that Spags said, if you recall, in the day that that all the coaches and the coordinators were made available. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that was asked to Spags was, wow, you must be so excited. Have you decided on who's going to play the right or the left side of the line? Is it going to be JPP? Is it going to be Vernon? What are you going to do? And he says, well, we're not, first of all, we're not done here. He said, we're not done. My roster is not complete. And I don't want to sit here and speculate in regard to how my defense is going to look and how my scheme's going to look until I see all the talent that I have on this roster. I love when coaches say that. I love coaches who look offense and defense. I love coaches who take a look at what they have on their roster and then sit back and say, okay, wow, this player does this well, this player does that well. I can and then create a scheme or creates an offense around the talent that they have.
Which is
not
smart.
It is smart, but not all coordinators do that.
That's
they
true.
just don't.
Some are stubborn.
So I liked hearing that little nugget from Spags. And again, you know, if you're sitting here, and it wasn't just one person. I mean, it's a number of people who are telling me that Leonard Floyd could be the next, if not better, Jason Taylor. I covered Jason Taylor when he was drafted with the Miami Dolphins. I covered him and Zach Thomas when they both came into the league. Excellent, excellent, excellent football players.
Yeah.
Game changers, playmakers. So I would hate the Giants to pass up on a playmaker of that magnitude just because he doesn't, quote unquote, fit the system. So how would he? How would Spags get creative in utilizing him? That is something that that would be so intriguing to me. But as you know, I'm madly in love with Miles Jack. That's the player that I want hands down. If Miles Jack is on the board, I think you take Miles Jack in a New York second. You don't even think twice about it. If he's not on the board, then the Leonard Floyd or the Stanley are intriguing to me.
And I think, you know, the interesting thing, too, is that when you get to that point and you're looking at it, you know, and the offensive lineman is there and, you know, gets you excited and you see what Spags tell you about Leonard Floyd. And, you know, I've heard the Leonard Floyd comparison to Jason Taylor as well, where a guy that came in undersized, bulked up, was able to play that 4-3 defensive end spot. And that's basically what Jason Taylor became. He became a legitimate 4-3 defensive end. The consensus seems to be, and again, the consensus has been wrong many times before, so take that with a grain of salt, that they don't think Floyd can bulk up to be a full-time 4-3 DN. Maybe he can. But that's his high end, the Taylor comparison. The low-end comparison I've heard is Barkevious Mingo, a player that came out in the top 10, I guess, 3 years ago now, I think, and he hasn't been able to find his way. He's kind of this guy that's in between positions and never found really where he fits in. So I think Floyd, to some extent, is a riskier pick, only because, as you said, there's a lot of projection involved. When you're talking about Conklin and Stanley, you know exactly how you're going to plug them, where you're going to use them. But with Floyd, you know what type of athlete and player he is, but then, like you said, you talk to Spags,
how are you
going to
use
him? Right. and that's the trick.
Right.
But, of course, that's why they get paid a lot of money to be football coaches.
Right.
Because they know this sort of stuff. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. I lost my chart here. Jeff in Rhode Island's up next. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, Anita and Johnny. How you guys doing today?
Hi, Jeff. How
Fantastic.
Are you, pal?
Excellent, excellent. Getting really anxious for the draft. I wanted to ask you, both of you, what your priority position pick would be for the Giants with their first pick. And before you answer me, just let me tell you, I do not want Floyd at number 10. No way, no way, no how. I don't want him on the team. Okay? I've been going back and forth with my first-round pick at number 10. I can't decide if I want the offensive tackle or a defensive lineman. I don't care if it's defensive end or defensive tackle. It doesn't matter. But what I do think has to happen is that, first of all, Jerry has to come up with a grade-A draft for sure. I mean, there's no two ways about that. And what we need to have is, I don't know in what particular order, but I'm thinking we have to have an offensive tackle and a wide receiver for the offense and a defensive lineman and a cornerback for the defense. And I don't know, in what particular order they'll be drafted. Obviously, a lot of that'll depend on what happens ahead of us. But in these four positions, I mean, these kids that come in, whoever they may be, whoever these players are, I mean, they have to be able to contribute this year. They got to be able to get out there and play this year. And with all the, you know, with all the holes that we have to fill, I don't think we're going to be able to do it in one draft. I think it's, to me, it's a two-year reboot or rebuild or whatever you want to call it. And a lot of people, a lot of Giants fans are looking for the Giants to trade back, but you know, and get an extra pick. I mean, I don't think that'll happen, but to get an extra pick, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? None of us know what's going to happen. So, with that being said, I'll hang up and I'll listen to your response, okay, guys? And you have a great day, and I hope to talk to you next week.
Thanks,
Jake.
Thank you for the phone call. This is what's interesting, John, is that because the Giants have been struggling the last 4 years and they haven't been able to make it to the playoffs, right? Giants fans have no patience. So they're in a situation right now, and I totally get it. I totally understand where it's got to go out, got to go draft a guy who's going to come in and help now, because we can't stand a fifth year of subpar football.
But
if the Giants were a team that maybe at least once or twice in the past 4 years made it to the playoffs, made it past the first game, were a little bit more competitive, then I think Giants fans, I think, would have a different mindset right now in regard to draft a player. Agree or disagree? I mean, if you disagree with me,
I think you're right. I think that's certainly what the Giant fans' mindset is. I mean, yeah, I think they want to get Bennett out. They're tired of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we saw that frustration bubble over the last couple of years, you know, and frankly, it bubbled up within the franchise. Whenever the Giants move on from a head coach, you know that they're unhappy with how things are going.
I mean,
that's just how the organization works. But the problem you run into is that sometimes, I mean, you could pick a great player in the first round. Sometimes it takes a year for them to be good. I mean, like you mentioned Jason Taylor, for example. I brought up his numbers. In Jason Taylor's first season, he started 11 games and had 5 sacks. Yeah, he's an impact, and he's a Hall of Famer now. But in year one, Jason Taylor wasn't Jason Taylor yet. You know, in year two, Jason Taylor played much better at 9 sacks. But in his third year, he had just 2.5. So it really took 3 years in the league before Jason Taylor became Jason Taylor when he had 14.5 sacks in year four.
What was his peak? What year was his peak?
2002. That was in his sixth season. That would have made him, I'll give you his age. In 2002, he was 27/28 years old, which is about where your prime is going to be.
Right.
And that was his 18.5 sack season for the Dolphins, and he was an all-pro player.
Right.
It takes time. So
yeah.
A lot of times the draft isn't designed to help you get better right away. You know, Eric Flowers played 16 games last year. Landon Collins started 16 games last year. They helped, but they also had growing pains. And, you know, last year when we went through the offensive tackles right before – it was either before or after the Giants drafted Flowers. And just to try to, you know, keep Giant fans' expectations in check, I went through – the past 3 years of offensive tackles picked in the first round. And I looked at their Pro Football Focus rating in their first year in the league. They were universally terrible. And even players that 2 years later, like Jake Matthews, for example, he was a first-round draft pick for the Falcons in 2014. His first year in 2014, he was rated as a bottom five offensive lineman in the league. He was a train wreck. He stunk. Last year, he was a top 20 offensive lineman because you get a lot better from year one to year two, which is why I warn, don't get obsessed with the first year, because even if it's a great player, he might not be great in year one.
How did the offensive lineman the Chicago Bears took right before the Giants? Giants, like, right? We talked a lot about him.
Shoot.
Iowa, right?
Block.
From Iowa?
Well, he went to Washington, Brandon Sheriff.
Sheriff.
Yeah, he went to Washington.
How did he do? Do you know how did he do last year?
I'll look up how Pro Football Focus graded him.
I know
he started the year rough,
right?
And I believe they started him outside of tackle, and I think then they moved him into guard. But let me look him up.
Did he go to Washington or Chicago?
He went to Washington.
He went to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was drafted much. We thought the Bears might pick him before the Giants. He ended up going much earlier. I think sixth overall, if I remember right from last year, or maybe even earlier than that. Actually, remember the Redskins passed on Leonard Williams. People thought they were going to take Leonard Williams, and they took Sheriff instead. So let me take a look here and bring up the Redskins from last year. See how Pro Football Focus rated him. And I bet you, while he was fine, I bet you he wasn't dominant. Let's see.
Wow, you really know how to maneuver around that Pro Football Focus website.
Well, you know what? He was rated as above average. He struggled pass blocking. He was much better in the run. And he played, looks like he played right guard pretty much the entire year. They did not have him outside of tackle. I thought they did earlier in the year, but I guess not.
Interesting.
You take
a guard that high up?
Well, and that was the question with him coming out, whether or not, you know, he was going to be able to play that position. If you look at the overall ratings, I can tell you where he slid in here. Let's see. He was around there. He was ranked as the 31st best guard in the league last year. Above average. You figure there's, you know, 60 starting guards. So he's kind of right near the top.
Look at Richie Incognito ranked second.
Yep.
And that was a guy that, you know, the Bills really went out on a limb there to bring him back into the league after all that went down with him in Miami.
Justin Pugh at 14 for some reference for Giant fans.
Okay.
So, and that's the thing. You know, these guys, and I bet you Sheriff's going to be, he might be a top 10 player this year. It's just such a big jump. And then, you know how it goes with these collegiate guys. They play a full season of college football. Then as soon as the college season is over, what do? They train for the combine.
Yeah, it's
then as soon as the combine's
over, bear.
You train for the pro day.
It's an absolute bear.
It's 12 straight months.
And that's why a lot of times you hear like that rookie wall, and you wonder, well, wait a minute, what's going on? Well, it's because there has been no break for them. You're absolutely right. It's college football. It's bowl game. It's getting ready for the combine. It's getting ready for the draft. Immediately you're thrown into OTAs, getting yourself acclimated to the NFL, learning a whole new playbook, starting the season, and then, how can you not expect a rookie to hit a wall at some point in time?
It's such a jump to go from college football to the pros, and a lot of times even great Hall of Famers play bad in their rookie year. Final call of the show, Bob in New Jersey. Bob, let's get to you before we say goodbye. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bob.
Hey, I was just looking at the Pro Football Focus, and they stole my thunder. I thought the Giants should try to trade with Tennessee in the first round. That's what they actually did. They took Conklin, and I would be jumping up and down that they did that. But we got the 15th pick in the first round, the first pick in the third round.
No, I was going to say, not the second.
Yeah, and then a fifth round pick also.
I'd say.
Why wouldn't the Giants want to get a bargain for a second round pick?
Well, I'm sure the Giants would bargain for it, and the Titans would say, no, we'll give you our first and the third.
what would be the point differential between the second pick and the.
Right, you got it.
No, you do it. You're better with all this.
All right, let's see. Anita has the chart handy.
I'm not, so good job. I'm not good with math.
Well, the Giants at the 10th pick has a 1,300-point value. The Titans at the 15th pick has a 1,050-point value.
Oh, wow.
So that is
cool.
A difference of 150 points.
250
points. Excuse me.
Oh, 250.
Right.
Okay.
See? I don't do it better than you. So, and the value of the first pick in the third round for the Titans is 270. So the Giants would actually be plus 20 points in that deal if they got the first pick in the third round. And then the third round pick, fifth round pick, is another 35. So the Giants would probably be plus 50 points in that deal.
Can't argue with.
There you go, Bob.
I'd be jumping for joy if they could do that.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Hey, this show is great. You guys do a terrific job.
I appreciate it, Bob. If my quick subtraction would be better, it would be an even better show. Thank you, pal. Appreciate the call.
Thanks a lot.
This is fun, Anita.
Yeah.
We only have one more week of these. And now you're with Lance tomorrow, right?
I am. I'm a Lance tomorrow. Also, a reminder that Jerry Reese is going to be addressing the media tomorrow at 11:45.
And we'll have that live on Giants.com as soon as that is done. We'll give you a little couple-minute break.
Right.
Get a little snack. Get a little beverage. And then you can come talk to Lance and Anita about
it. But not an adult beverage. Not an adult beverage.
If they're at home and having a day off, they can take it.
Oh, I thought you meant us. I thought you meant Lance and I.
Oh, well.
Lance and I will be able to get a little.
If you give Lance a drop of adult beverage, he just passes right out.
I'm frightened.
He just flips over.
I would be really frightened.
They'll be right after Jerry Reese, and then me and you are back, I think, next Tuesday.
Yes.
If not mistaken. We already have Matt Miller set up from Bleacher Report, so that should be a lot of fun.
Oh, fantastic.
And the great thing about Matt is that we've done prospects with everybody, but I don't know if you read his draft notebooks on Bleacher Report.
I do.
He's really locked into what's going on and what front offices are thinking. So me and Anita are going to pick his brain next Tuesday. I purposely booked him as close to the draft as possible to get his feel of what type of machinations are happening in the draft, trades, what teams are looking at what guys, and that'll hopefully give you a good idea of what's going to happen on Thursday night.
Machinations.
Machinations.
And then I'm on with Paul draft day.
On Thursday,
on
right.
Thursday.
Exactly. And hopefully I'll give you a call from Chicago with some type of fancy news.
Fantastic. Exciting. So getting Giants fans ready
absolutely.
For that Thursday night.
And as you get ready for the draft, Giants.com/mock draft. We keep track of the mock drafts for you, so you don't have to go to all these other sites. Just go to Giants.com/mock draft. It's all there set up for you. See who the experts are saying the Giants are going to pick. It's still a lot of Conklin, a lot of Stanley, a lot of Leonard Floyd.
Who's the one guy that the majority of Giants fans?
I'm going to this. I don't.
I love it. I'm just curious. Like, who's the one guy Giants fans absolutely positively want the Giants to draft?
I think the consensus. I don't think it's overwhelming this year that there's an overwhelming consensus.
Okay.
I think a lot of Giant fans are willing to throw caution to the wind on the knee, and like you, if Miles Jack is there, they'll jump at it. I think that's a big thing. But I think if the guys that are there are the guys you think are going to be there, I think offensive line's the way to go. Some people like Stanley. Some people like Conklin. I think that seems to be the idea right now
from
what I can tell.
All right.
But we'll get a better feel, and we'll start getting some predictions, too, later in the week and next week, and then we can see what happens with the draft. For Anita Marks, I'm John Schmelk. That's your Wednesday edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow again. Jerry Reese, 11:45, talks to the media. We'll have it live right here on Giants.com. We'll see you then.
Oh, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.